Black Heart Gold Podcast.
Is Jericho!
Black Heart Gold Podcast 27, and we're slightly off topic tonight because wrestling is awesome. I'm joined by Adam Jacoby, Oops Pow Surprise, and the topic tonight, the one, the only, WrestleMania 26. First off, Oops Pow, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I got the computer back and working, and we've got Wrestling Mania. And, indeed, you know, the cool thing about it, WrestleMania is only at 26. We're at 27, baby.
Damn right, WrestleMania is our bitch.
Our bitch.
You know, you'd think that for two Iowa bloggers this week, if they want to talk wrestling, it would be their national championship in wrestling, but no.
No. Oh, no.
Clearly you've mistaken us for actual legitimate, you know, wrestling people.
if they didn't sort of figure that out already when every wrestling post that wasn't written by Ross involves some clip of, like, video game WWF stuff, like, okay, you can't be surprised at this point, people. You just can't.
Now, as a word of warning to our listeners, as a word of warning to you, Jacoby, I didn't tell you this before we went on the air, but in preparation for tonight's podcast, I just went and watched The Rock versus Stone Cold from WrestleMania 19.
Oh!
Which, yes, I have on DVD.
Oh!
It's such a great match. And you can see, like, the entire way through it, everybody kind of assumed that it was it for The Rock, because the Scorpion King had just gotten done, and he was clearly on his way out. But what people didn't know was that it was Stone Cold's last match. He was done after that. I don't think he'd wrestle competitively again. He comes down like the battle wagon with two knee braces, you know, and he had the neck problems as it was. And after that match, he basically fell off the planet. Yeah. He never wrestled again. And Rock came back off and on for another, you know, 6 months to a year there, in between shooting stuff, and never really truly wrestled again. It was kind of an end of an era thing. It was great. Plus, The Rock finished him off with three rock bottoms.
That was the ending to that match was just an orgy of finishing moves. It's like if you're watching a porno and like it's like Peter North, except Peter North going for like 15 minutes, like finishing it. Like, this has to stop at some point, right?
And then, but actually, before
drowning,
and before the 15 minutes of Peter North, he went for Lexington Steel.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He put a Stone Cold Stunner on him, and then three rock bottoms. Just an excellent match, superb match, and they've never gotten back near that level ever since. And when TNA, and this is kind of a divergent because I watch a little bit of TNA, and I don't think, Adam, you watch any of it at all?
No. What channel is it even on?
It's on Spike, and it's on at the exact same time as Raw now. So Yeah. You've got to either DVR it or skip Raw, which isn't that big a deal anymore. But
right. Certainly not last night.
No. And say what you will for TNA, but at least they have wrestling on. But TNA wants to, like, relitigate the fights from – I keep using relitigate all the time. Relitigate the fights from WCW.
Like, you were like, oh, I remember this from Starcade.
Yeah.
When I was 11. All right.
I mean, their big thing right now is, well, they have this big dope with no personality at all named Abyss. And he's feuding with the world champion, a guy named AJ Styles, who's actually really good. But Styles is now managed by Ric Flair and has adopted all the Ric Flair-isms. Like, he's got the sequin robe that he comes down to the ring in. Flair always accompanies him in a wheelchair because Flair is perpetually injured. And Abyss has been taken under Hulk Hogan's wing. And so through this Abyss versus AJ Styles thing, they're fighting Ric Flair versus Hogan, and now Sting is somehow involved. And the Nasty Boys are there. And the Dudleys, and it's just terrible. I mean, that's not the fights that people want. What we want is Stone Cold versus The Rock, because that was the golden age right there.
Right, and it's not like, I mean, the Rock was, you know, sort of derivative in his own way when they were still doing the Mayavia thing, but, like, even then when they figured, like, oh, hey, wait a second, this guy is actually really good, they went away from, you know, making it a like a retread of something that was popular decades ago.
Right.
And just making him his new own guy. You know,
yeah.
Stone Cold was always, you know, sort of his own brand, except for when he was, what was it, Stunning Steve Austin?
He was Stunning Steve Austin in WCW. He teamed with Flyin' Brian Pillman in the Hollywood Blondes.
That's right.
And then when he came to WWF, at the time it was WWF, he was the ringmaster, and he actually was the million-dollar title holder.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, and then eventually he kind of like morphed into Stone Cold Steve Austin, which made no sense because he was supposed to be this great tactician, and then he became this guy who was just a brawler with no actual ability whatsoever, and there was never any real explanation as to how he lost all of his wrestling ability along the way. But again, we diverge. The other great part of that match is that it's the last great Rock heel turn. And
yeah.
Rock was great as a face because the crowd loved him, but when he was a heel, he was a brilliant heel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that he even, you know, you're right, the crowd like loves him when he's a good guy, but he's almost Jericho-esque in his ability to be a heel at the same time, to get the crowd to at least elicit a reaction of some, you know, I think the whole Rock and Steve Austin era was sort of the phasing out of the heel-slash-face dichotomy that was really prevalent, you know, in the 80s and,
yeah,
and early 90s and stuff. Like, you could be watching and be like, well, is Rock a good guy or a bad guy? And, well, no, he's the Rock.
Right.
And so...
Well, and they always said, there was a great interview. I have way too many wrestling DVDs. I hide them around my house like most people hide pornography. but there's a great DVD about the Monday Night Wars when it was Nitro versus Raw. And they talk about, they have Jim Cornette on, who's, as both of us know, is brilliant,
yes,
talking about how when they created Stone Cold Steve Austin, it was supposed to be this massive heel. Like, he was just supposed to be hated by everybody, and they sent him out there at King of the Ring, and he beat the hell out of, you know, the Bible-thumping Jake the Snake Roberts and got up there and gave the Austin 316 speech. And McMahon thought that he'd created this incredible heel with it, and then they showed up at Raw the next night, and everybody's got Austin 316 signs. Like,
right.
The worse he was, like the meaner he was, the more the fans loved it.
Right.
And they just played to that. And the only time you could ever make those guys a heel really was like when Stone Cold joined McMahon, or when The Rock went off and made a movie and came back and talked about how everything was better in Hollywood. Like,
right. When they were the establishment, that's when they were the heel. They're like the redneck retard Holden Caulfields.
Yeah, there we go. Let's get Stoops My Ass on here and talk about Holden Caulfield. all right, well, we've diverged into better days of wrestling, but, you know, we're still watching it this day because, well, we have nothing better to do on Monday night. So the card for WrestleMania this year is slightly retreadish. It's, I'm not really stoked for it, but there's a few matches here that could be great.
Sure.
The opener will almost certainly be the Money in the Bank match. Well, before we get to that, we can discuss the fact there will be a Raw versus SmackDown Divas 4-on-4 match. The winner in that match is the Terrorists.
Right.
The fact that that's even going on is just wrong.
If you're watching this event legally, at that point, what you need to find something else to do. If it's take a walk, if it's like snort some drugs or something like that, do anything but watch that.
Yes. Well, and it'll only be about 4 minutes. Because
Vince McMahon
has decided that his women's wrestlers can't go longer than 4 to 5 minutes, no matter how many of them are involved. So,
well, everyone's busting a nut at that point.
Well, exactly, yeah. We're spent. So... Money in the Bank match, the participants this year, Captain Charisma, Christian, who I'm on the fence on anymore. I don't know if I like him or not. Evan Bourne, who smiles too much. MVP, who is god-awful. Jack Swagger, who's got a lisp. Kane, who's played out. Dolph Ziggler, who has no gimmick. Shelton Benjamin, who only lives for ladder matches and Money in the Bank.
Is he still around?
He is still around. Apparently, he hasn't left SmackDown since 1997.
Like, whenever I'm taking, like, WWE questions on Sporkle, if there's ever, like, a belt holder in 2004 that I can't remember, I just try him and it works, like, 70% of the time.
Yeah.
I really thought he was gone as of years ago.
No, he only shows up for Money in the Bank matches and ladder matches, and he never wins any of them, but he's always there. Gold tights. Go Shelton Benjamin. Matt Hardy, who is buried on the roster. Kofi Kingston, who's not actually Jamaican. And Drew McIntyre, who once spotted Triple H and is therefore the Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
I think there's only three guys in this match who can win. And it's probably Christian, Kofi Kingston, or Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, basically.
I don't think Swagger can win it.
No, they're not. I mean, they've been burying him for a while. Evan Bourne is there for kids. He's like the white Coco Beware. I mean, he's never going to win anything ever. Matt Hardy, there's Vince McMahon is sort of like Dana White in that he holds grudges excellently. And so with Jeff Hardy at TNA, yeah, they're not going to give anything to Matt Hardy. No way.
Yeah.
And the rest of the guys just don't even merit mention. Yeah, it is those three. And I don't know if I like any of them.
I think it's Christian because they'd been moving him up as it was making him the ECW champion for as long as he did. And then they killed that belt. And I think, with Kingston might not quite be ready for prime time yet. McIntyre's already got a title around his waist. I think you give it to Christian and he'll cash it in about 3 months at some, you know, auspicious pay-per-view.
Like he's got to like at least carry around the briefcase for a few months just so everyone's like, oh,
yeah,
he's got a briefcase.
He's that guy.
He's going to go to a meeting.
And then Rob Van Dam can come down and steal it from him. Mr. Money in the Bank, Rob Van Dam.
That's right.
No, I think it's probably Christian there, but I wouldn't be surprised if Kingston wins it.
What if they did something like give it to Shelton Benjamin, just out of nowhere?
Well, I've been saying for years what they should do with the Royal Rumble is let someone like
Carlito,
or even better would be Chavo Guerrero win Royal Rumble on a complete fluke, and then challenge like the Divas Champion
at WrestleMania. Just make a complete mockery of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be great. That's got to be. I think it's going to probably end up being Christian. It could be Kingston, I suppose, if they want to give him a push. But the rest of those guys aren't ready for it. Kane can't even get up the ladder, so no. Let's forget about that. Kane's there just to throw people around and make things set on fire.
Right, and as soon as the underwear taker leaves, what's Kane's gimmick going to be? Fire guy?
That's a good point. I never really thought of it. What will Kane be if he's not the brother of the Undertaker?
Right.
Excuse me, underwear taker.
Thank you.
Apologies. All right, well, with that one out of the way, and that probably will be the first match that usually lead off with that because it's so damn crazy as it is. My guess would be the next match is probably going to be Triple H and Sheamus, which is going to be unbearable.
Oh, God. Yeah, because, like, one of the weird things about the WWE is that, like, the higher profile you get, the worse you actually are at wrestling, mainly because you can't really be in that highest of echelons until you're at least like 40 years old.
I mean, right.
It's just the way the structure works out. Like Sheamus is the cute little exception. They gave him a belt for like 2 months for it. But I mean, here he is in WrestleMania without, you know, even a intercontinental belt on the line. It's just like, give Triple H something to do.
Yeah.
You know,
well, no, and again, it's Sheamus is another recipient of the I Once Spotted for Triple H prize.
Right.
Getting a push that is wholly unwarranted by a guy who has absolutely no personality whatsoever and isn't that good in the ring.
No, he's not that good. Like, the stuff with the kicking and the power bombing, like, okay, it's better than Evan Bourne doing a flip off the top rope, if you ask me. I mean, maybe it's because I'm not in fifth grader anymore, but but like when he was like, okay, now I'm gonna stand in the ring and talk for 10 minutes about how cool it would be to fight Triple H. That was some of the worst shit I've ever seen.
Oh, he's terrible on a microphone. He's just unlistenable. And the sad thing is that when Triple H isn't being a smartass, and he can't be a smartass anymore. I mean, he was a lot funnier when he was driving a tank around or when he was calling himself the King of Kings.
Right.
But he's just not. He does, even when they did the stupid Degeneration X comeback that was really like, let's have a midget run around with these two guys and everybody will be happy and we can give them glow sticks. He wasn't in any way, shape, or form funny. He just does the same old, I'm the guy who looks like an animal and I'm a little crazy, I'm Triple H and I'll spit water. And his matches are worse than his actual mic work anymore. He's got about 8 moves left. This match will go down the same way every match he does goes down. He will get the crap kicked out of him for 8-9 minutes. Come back
an injury the entire time.
Right, yeah. He'll probably end up getting thrown through a table or throw somebody else through a table because that's what happens pretty much every Triple H match. At which point he will mount a furious comeback with about 4 right hands, knock the guy down, do the little flying knee thing, flex, pick him up, throw him into the ropes, kick him, go for the stupid pedigree, and either land it or get chucked and then power bombed and lose.
Right. And by the way, the pedigree is arguably worse than the Hulk Hogan leg drop.
I don't even know if it's arguable. It's a terrible move.
It's the worst of the last 20 years, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet it's supposed to just be, you know, destructive.
Like, you never see a guy like be like, oh, he did the pedigree on me. Now I have a broken nose. Like, what's
this? So, who do you think wins that one?
Oh, I'm going to guess Kathy Griffin's vagina, or I mean, Sheamus.
Yeah, I'd probably think the same way. They got.
Although, I mean, at the same time, he was like, if I beat Triple H, he'll never be the same. Like, what? That's your angle? That's.
He'll take 2 months off. I mean, and that's what they're getting to here, too, is that it's time for vacation after WrestleMania, and we'll get to Michaels and The Undertaker here in a minute, but right. Triple H will take 2 months off after this.
It's got to be a squash to vacation time.
Right, he's got to lose if he's going to go on vacation, and so they'll let him lose, and Sheamus will lord over him and talk about how he ended his career, and then you know sometime around, you know whatever has replaced Backlash, they'll bring him back. He won't be out until SummerSlam. They can't go 4 months without him and Michaels, but they'll definitely move him out for a little while. So yeah, probably Sheamus. After that will probably be a match that I'm kind of looking forward to. Rey Mysterio, who I hate, versus CM Punk, who is awesome right now in this messianic role that he's playing where he's trying to save everybody. It's a street fight. If Mysterio loses, he has to join the Straight Edge Society. We've been talking for 3 or 4 months now about how great it would be if Mysterio dropped his first name and became like a wizard. I am Mysterio! And I think maybe this could happen. If CM Punk wins this match, it could possibly happen.
He's got like a luchador wizard's hat. So it's got this giant point on it. And instead of that stupid 619 thing, his finishing move is like he hits someone in the head with a Harry Potter wand or something. Now, you can't tell me that that's in any way, shape, or form worse than what he does right now.
I'm shocked they haven't done it because it seems like Vince McMahon's sense of humor to do that.
Exactly. And he's like 5'5", yep. You know? But I think that he still wins, though, just because. I mean, whenever the stipulations are something like wholly unreasonable against a face, if you will, then it never works out like that.
The only way I could see them changing that, and I agree with you, I think he probably wins it because I can't imagine him being stuck working with CM Punk for a while or moving away from being a face because he's physically incapable of being a heel. I mean, he is – talk about Evan Bourne only being there for the kids. Rey Mysterio is only there for four-year-olds.
Basically.
And so you can't really move him away from being a heel. But the only way I could see them doing it is if it's McMahon continuing to punish him for using steroids, which, by the way, is the funniest story of all time. Rey Mysterio at 130 pounds was on anabolic steroids.
Well, it certainly wasn't human growth hormone.
No, no. He looked like Barry Bond circa 1990.
Except a midget.
But yeah, I think Mysterio wins that. And it's a shame because Punk is so incredibly glorious on the microphone right now. You didn't see – did you see Elimination Chamber where he was talking?
Oh, no.
They had the Elimination Chamber matches are – they have people – they had four pods around the ring and they had six people in the match. You start with two people and then every 5 minutes one of the pods would open up and somebody else would enter the match. Punk was up against R-Truth at the beginning.
Wank.
Yeah, and R-Truth is terrible. We'll get to that in a minute, too. But he beats R-Truth in about 3.5 minutes and, of course, gets his people to hand him a microphone through the cage so he could go on like a minute and a half rant about how he's saving everybody. It was great.
It's awesome. The same thing that he was doing in the Royal Rumble.
He threw out the entire ring, and then he sat there and, like, preached to the choir for a while. It's great. He's fantastic. I have wholly turned on him since he became a heel.
Yes.
He's a far better heel than he is a face.
Right.
All right. After that match, which Mysterio will probably win, I'm guessing we probably get Randy Orton versus Legacy. Again, the winner on this one is the Terrorists. It's a triple threat match technically, but it's going to be DiBiase and Rhodes against Orton, and that means Orton probably wins.
Probably. With the triple threat, is it like first person to pin someone wins, or is it like last one guy?
No, whoever pins somebody is the winner.
Okay.
So technically, if they wanted to beat Orton, DiBiase could lay down and Rhodes could just pin him. And I'm guessing that could possibly happen because they're just jackasses that way.
Yeah, probably. Or, you know, they like to do the huge, like, turns in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're going to do something like that, and then all of a sudden Abercrombie and Rhodes decides to just brain DiBiase out of nowhere so Orton can win, and then it's, like, those two, and DiBiase can go off and be his, you know, face by himself.
Hey,
that could happen.
That could happen. And that's – I've been saying – I mean, I know I've told you. I've been saying it for, Christ, 6 months now. The DiBiase face turn is coming.
Yeah.
He's not good as a heel for one thing.
No,
and he's the one who
heel face.
No, and he's the one who's actually kind of legitimately stood up to Orton before when Orton was a true heel. The weird Randy Orton face turn lately has been odd. They've run that like they used to run the old, you know, Stone Cold Rock things where he's still the exact same character, but he somehow has gained sympathy just because he had to go up against Sheamus for 3 weeks.
Well, I think a lot of that, too, was that the crowd just doesn't in any way positively respond to Legacy. Like, there's nothing about them that they like. So if their fate, you know, if they have to fight Randy K. Orton, then, like, Orton is automatically the fan favorite between the two just because he's not fucking Legacy.
Right. He's not fucking Legacy.
Well, I mean, maybe he is. Did you notice that they never wear pants?
No. Ever. No.
They're always walking around in their weird, like, T-shirt and banana hammock thing.
Especially Orton.
Always.
Orton always is doing that.
And it's so weird and off-putting because, like, it looks like a onesie, like an Affliction onesie. And it's like, nobody should ever dress like that. Why are you doing that? Aren't your thighs cold?
Speaking of that, we were, on behalf of really all of humanity, we want to thank Randy Orton for not oiling up for last night's tag team match where his partner was Triple H, because the amount of oil consumed between the two of them could have pushed gas to $3 a gallon.
Yeah, absolutely. Triple H's hair, what is that? Is that even hair anymore?
The old Eric Bischoff line, that he looks like a mutant Sharpay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Orton.
What's
probably,
next on
think,
the docket?
I think Orton probably wins that, but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, I guess
there could too. That could be where we have an oddball turn by somebody. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think that this one's gonna play out by existing storylines. I think this is where they toss in something new and different.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, this is a stale story.
Oh, it's been way overdone. It needs to go away. Now we get to something that you and I love. John Morrison, who is awful.
Yeah.
R-Truth, who I still can't figure out why the hell he's getting a push from anybody, versus The Big Show and The Miz.
Awesome.
One of these things is not like the other. unified tag titles at stake. They've just gotten going on the Miz Big Show thing. I don't think they move him off of him to give R-Truth a piece of the gold.
No, that would be weird. And like, I don't think that either of them have sort of what's that? Is it earned their chops?
Sure.
I don't think either of
them paid their dues,
so to speak. Have done that enough to, at the very least, take the belt off of, off the Big Show. Unless what they're trying to do is figure out some way to split the Big Show and the Miz, like, against each other, like, start some new story like that and have some sort of, like, betrayal and then they lose the belts like that, then maybe, but...
And I don't think they can do that, because there's a reason why the Big Show has been wrestling tag team since SummerSlam. I don't think he can get it done in the zone anymore.
No, I don't think so either.
The guy's 450 pounds, and he's pushing 40. I mean, he can't possibly be, running around doing matches on his own. And if you watch the matches that he's in, the Miz is in there for at least 2/3 of the time, pretty much every match they do that goes longer than 5 minutes.
And the big finisher for the Big Show, he punches.
He punches a guy.
You know, it's nothing athletic or anything like that. He's not at Andre the Giant, circa 1988 anymore or anything like that. But, he's clearly on the downside of his career. And he's good as a tag team partner. Maybe if they wanted to do something weird like, I don't know, have the Big Show ally with either Morrison or Truth. Like, I don't know.
I can't imagine they do that. I think it's got to be Big Show Miz winning it.
Eventually,
I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later, Miz is going to drop the U.S. title. But I think they might keep the tag belt on him for a while. But this is another example of the two things that WWE are getting their asses kicked on with TNA. They're far better at the top of the card, even though generally the guys who are at the top of the card, I can't stand. They are much, much better at playing at the top of the card.
Yeah, like, we can complain about Shawn Michaels all we want, but at least he's not Kurt Angle.
Right, yeah. Well, not even Kurt Angle. Like,
or Abyss. Jeff
Jarrett and Abyss make utterly no sense at the top of anything. But anyway, where WWE fails, and where they tried to make a very brief push and then gave it up, is... Well, for one, women's wrestling, which is much, much better on TNA, but nobody cares about that. And the other one is tag teams. The tag teams in TNA are infinitely better than the tag teams in WWE, which always seem like they're just thrown together at a whim by somebody on SmackDown. Like, you just find two guys and says, we'll put them together. It's John Morrison and R-Truth, or... Crime Time, which always played to like the worst stereotypes possible. I can't believe they kept that going as long as they could, as long as they did.
Unconscionable.
MVP and Ms. Ark Henry, which is basically like, again, we'll find the two black guys. There's no cohesive strategy into what they do for tag teams, and there's nobody there who's focused on tag team wrestling. I mean, there isn't another tag team. They'll just find, you know, a month from now, Big Show and Miz will face Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger, who will suddenly, you know, they're both blonde and they suck, so we'll put them together and we'll have them compete for the tag team championship.
Right. They don't even have, like, creative, like, names or ideas. Like, there's no Bushwhackers in the WWE
no.
right now. There's no Rockers.
No. There's nobody who stays together for more than 3 weeks. Except
Legacy,
for
sir.
Legacy, which is now going to break up, and Big Show and Miz because they have the titles. Big Show Jericho because they had the titles for a while, and DX, which is done. Right? There's not coming back again. So, side rant there for a little while, but it's another example of Morrison and R-Truth aren't big enough to be holding those titles, just like Carlito and Chavo Guerrero weren't. Or Carlito and who was
Primo.
His brother? Primo. That's it. Weren't before. Chavo Guerrero would be great.
Yeah. Like, what if it was like, what if they decided, okay, we're going to have Chavo Guerrero and Santino Marella hold the title for like 6 months in a row? And like, to the point where they're like saying, okay, now we're going to put Shawn Michaels and Jericho up against those two.
And they win.
Destroyed.
Squash match.
Right. Like, how do you think the fan base would react to that? I think it would be stunned indifference, but I think people who are over the age of 25 would get a kick out of it.
Absolutely. And let's face it, that's exactly what they're playing to anymore. Not exactly. Yeah. Speaking of what they're playing to now, WWE Championship, Batista-Cena. I'm not looking forward to this match at all.
No, I'm not either. Especially because they've set this up so by the book for a Cena win, it's not even funny.
Yep. I couldn't believe how bad Batista was as a face until I watched him on this most recent heel turn. He's worse as a heel. Like he's a guy who has no character at all.
Right. But he's jacked out of his mind.
Right. And so therefore he gets pushed to the top of the card all the time. And again, yeah. Another guy who did the Triple H plan to get there. I mean, and there's that great video with
Jim Cornette
talking about how the guy just was completely worthless, but he, you know, did some bench presses with Triple H before he knew it. He was the champion.
Yeah.
He is jacked out of his mind. He's incredible looking.
He's
just a terrible Mike guy. He's not particularly good in the ring.
He's okay in the ring. I mean, he's like TNA good in the ring.
Yeah, I'll give him that. Which is more than you can say for Cena, who once again last night got a beautiful "You Can't Wrestle" chant thrown his way.
Now,
Cena is another one, just like Triple H, who now has the exact same plan of attack for every match. This will work out exactly how, just as you said, and just as every match of these does. Batista will kick the crap out of him for 15 minutes, and he'll come back with those two stupid shoulder blocks, the little punch thingy, hit the slam, and that'll be that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's got that. I think the problem is that the middle of the card wrestlers aren't that good of wrestlers. The top of the card wrestlers aren't that good as wrestlers, but at least they have a gimmick. And Cena's been coasting on that gimmick for about the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and he sells. And that's the problem, though, is that, you know, WWE is no longer playing to people our age, which is fine. I don't blame them. But when your entire gimmick is, let's get the kids going, you need Superman. And John Cena is Superman.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it'll happen again. He'll get killed, and he'll be on the verge of getting pinned. And hopefully those same guys at WrestleMania 19 who had the signs with two, every time there'd be a two count, they would jump up and throw the sign that said two. Two. they'll get a workout, and Cena will eventually win it.
Right. And they're going to spend, like, 15 minutes of Batista doing some, like, suplex, and then he tries to pin him. Like, yep. Seriously? I mean, don't insult our intelligence.
Right.
You guys know good and goddamn well, you know, or it's like, you know, how they were in the Royal Rumble for, I mean, they finally stopped it this year, but for, like, the last 5 years, the wrestlers would, like, push a guy over the rope and then turn around, even though at least 80% of the time the guy would pull himself back up.
Right.
Like, that happened a majority of the time, and yet, like, the guy who pushed him over is always, without fail, surprised when the guy
comes back in.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, thankfully they got away from that. Hopefully we can get away from the 15 near falls in a row of Cena before he wins again. Like,
yeah.
You guys can't do better than that, really?
Yeah, but it won't happen this time, though. Because it'll give Batista time to make sure his tricep hasn't torn off of his body again.
You know, here's the thing about Batista. Like, last night when he was, like, coming down and he was wearing sunglasses, I was like, oh, cool. He's got sunglasses now. Maybe he's finally got a gimmick worth watching. No.
No.
But, I mean, like, that's all it takes. Just, I mean, change something up.
Yeah.
But
no, he won't because he's, well, you know, say what you will for him. And I don't know anybody who ever would say they're a Batista fan, but for some reason they think it works.
Yeah.
You know?
How many people do you think are, like, in the official Batista fan club?
Yeah. Yeah, who's I heart Dave Batista?
Right, right.
Well, if that match wasn't predictable enough, Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, no holds barred. One's a geriatric, one's a stroke survivor.
Let's have him have it out.
This is going to last about 6 minutes, and it's going to end with Bret Hart putting him in the sharpshooter.
Yeah, although I think, you know, I've already told you this, and maybe it doesn't happen during the match. Like, especially watch if this, if the Vince McMahon and Bret Hart thing is early in the card, then watch for something where maybe even in the WWE Championship where Vince starts meddling in Batista's favor. And then Bret comes out after having already beaten him. And then Bret's here to save the day. But Bret Hart turns heel and takes out Cena, and then Batista wins. That's my big shocker.
Whoa.
Plot twist.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's like M. Night Shyamalan right there.
I'm telling you, once that hatchet's been buried, they've already said that you know, Hart's still going to be around after WrestleMania in some role or another, but they haven't elucidated on that at all. Once he beats Vince McMahon, what the hell else is he going to be there to do? But if he's Vince McMahon's crony all of a sudden, then he's got easily, you know, 4 or 5 more months of storyline out of Hart. Before the eventual inevitable face turn right after that. But I think there's some definite possibility for shenanigans.
That's interesting.
I like Hart shenanigans. I like it too, and no one would see it coming.
Until now.
Well,
until they listen to our podcast. Boom, baby.
Fans.
Well, but are we in agreement, though, that match itself has to end with Bret Hart putting him in the sharpshooter? I mean, there's just no other way that this thing can possibly close up. They can't let Vince win.
No.
The only reason Bret Hart came back was to make Vince tap out. And that's what's going to happen from here on out. So, and it won't last long because they're a combined age higher than Demolition's combined weight.
Yeah, wow. What would their combined age is over 120 and maybe even over 125, right?
It's got to be over 120. Bret Hart's got to be.
Well, Bret Hart's 40s. In his 50s, right?
Let's get a little Google.
I'm gonna look up Vince.
Okay, I'll look up Bret. Bret born July 2nd, 1957, so he's 52.
Yeah, come on, computer, what do you say?
Your computer sucks.
I know, right?
This is great. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, 1945, so he's 65.
So 65 and 53?
64 and 52. So 117. 116.
Yeah, that's less than I thought. I thought Vince McMahon was over 70.
No, he's 64 years old. But he's got the body of a 30-year-old.
Thanks to completely legal supplements.
The Vince McMahon index on Wikipedia is fantastic.
Ah, you're going to have to send that to me.
Well, I'll just it includes the McMahon-Helmsley era.
Oh, God.
Feuds with the Generation X and Donald Trump. Numerous incidents. I don't even know what that means.
You know what it means. There are incidents that are numerous.
There's been numerous incidents. Oh, this is all the numerous incidents is when he staged his own death and then Benoit happened the next morning.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Timing!
Yeah, that was well done, Vince. Okay, so that match ends and ends quickly and hopefully very quickly for everybody's sake, which leaves us with the last two. Shawn Heartbreak, middle-aged man, Michaels. Versus Panty Raid, the Underwear Taker.
The Underwear Taker.
I will give them this. That match last year was epic.
Oh, yeah, it was. And it was so epic, it basically cost Underwear Taker, what, 5 months?
Yeah, Underwear Taker didn't come back till September. At which point he immediately demanded that he got the title back. Like,
right.
He was gone for 6 months. He came back, and within, like, 3 days, he'd beaten CM Punk for the championship.
Didn't he – what was it, like a completely torn hamstring or
yeah.
I mean, something just wretchedly bad?
Yeah. He got ripped up good in that one. And Michaels left because Michaels always takes 6 months off, which makes the stipulation in this match the whole – Shawn Michaels' career versus Undertaker's streak thing incredibly stupid because, as we all know, Michaels is gone win or lose until SummerSlam. And
then they're going to, you know, it'll take about, what, 4 months, and then all of a sudden his musical hit out of nowhere, and then the crowd goes crazy. And like, what? You were supposed to be gone. Whoa!
Yeah.
And everyone's going to act surprised.
And who's going to jump in to tell him that he can't come back? Undertaker?
Right.
So he'll be gone still, too. So, the stipulation's retarded. But
Or Triple H will be like, I've got a friend to bring out.
Well, here's the problem they got, though. Undertaker hasn't been able to wrestle a match longer than about 15 minutes since he got back. And he's clearly stick a fork in him done.
Yeah,
and the mascara is getting more, thicker and thicker. And so last year's match was a solid 40 minutes about. I mean, it was a long, long match with a lot of stunts. Everybody hit everybody else's finishers 9 times. And I don't think they can come close to living up to it in the condition that he's in right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they can either. I don't know how it ends necessarily. I do think it's probably it's either A, going to be a disappointment, or B, going to be something sort of on par with the Rock and Austin match, where it's basically two guys who are, so far in the decline of their careers that they're like, you know what? Fuck it, we're just going to put on one last, big match and then sort of fade out because we are old as hell.
Yeah, and that could very well, that's a very good point. That could be what they do. I mean, it could just be that, Michaels wants his one last round of applause.
Yeah.
And whether it comes because he wins this match or comes because he loses and he quote-unquote retires, he'll get it here.
Yeah.
And I think Undertaker just wants to go steal more underwear. He's got He's got sororities to raid, folks.
Did you know that he's actually stolen enough underwear to fill a coffin? That's why.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. They could do a coffin match, and then you go to the coffin and be nothing but underwear. We can't put him in the coffin. It's already full of underwear.
Tidy whities like fly out when they throw someone in there. Now, here's the thing, though. At some point, they do have to have underwear take or lose. Like, they've been building up the streak. Well, yeah. I mean, they've got to cash in the streak at some point or another. Right? Don't you think?
If they're going to do it, this is where they do it.
Yeah, that's what
because
I mean.
You've got a guy who they keep calling Mr. WrestleMania for reasons past my understanding. I will say this for Michaels. He, aside from one other guy who's coming up in a second, a guy we both know and love, Michaels is still, even in his dilapidated form, maybe the second best wrestler in the company. I mean, makes everybody else look
talent,
better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes everyone else look better except for when he wants to make them look worse.
Right.
Which has happened.
It's like when he overplayed with Hulk Hogan.
Yes. We should embed that on this post when it goes up. Because I mean that's really just sterling on S. Michaels' part.
Indeed. And that's why I think this one could probably still be pretty good, is that Michaels can still make Undertaker look good, which is almost impossible because I mean, Undertaker's just done. I mean, and so I would expect it to go shorter than last year's match. I would expect a lot of the same kind of twists and turns, and yeah, everybody's going to hit their finishers three times, and Michaels will hit that kick, and Stone Cold will hit four different moves that he's created over the last 20 years. And Undertaker. Underwear Taker. My bad. My apologies to Mr. Austin, who, by the way, was so completely neutered on Raw the other night that it was just sad.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference between the, the TV-14 and the...
They're TV-PG.
Yeah, they're TV-PG, and then they were TV-14 during the Austin era, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's your difference right there.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, Christ, when you watch the DVD, the Rock DVD, and they have that Rock Austin match at WrestleMania 19, they blur out the middle finger when Austin gets up on the second turnbuckle and gives the fans the, two thumbs up.
Yeah.
They blur it out. I mean, they don't have to deal with it anymore. It's so sad. But anyway.
All because Linda McMahon had to run for Senate.
Exactly. I'll take Underwear Taker here.
Yeah, I think so too, if only because there's no reason to take this end of career shit seriously.
Right. And Michaels will find a way back, just like Flair found a way back when Flair was retired. You know, he might not come back and wrestle, and with Michaels' back as bad as it is, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but he'll find a way back as a manager or Raw GM or something like that.
Right. Like, well, when they kicked Jericho off of Raw, how long did that last?
Yeah, about a week and a half. Right. Or when they kicked Miz off of Raw and he came back the next week.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, the main event, World Heavyweight title, Edge, who I don't know what to think about. I really don't. But I know what to think about his opponent. Chris Jericho, baby. Break the walls down. He is so incredibly brilliant.
He is. Yeah. He is the best man on the microphone in WWE.
And he's the best man in the ring.
Yes.
He makes everyone. I mean, he made Rey Mysterio look good for 3 months.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat look good.
Which is why they have him do this stuff. Because if you're going to do let's have somebody feud with all these old guys who can bring them back and play off of sentimentality for WrestleMania 25. Who should do it? Jericho. Well,
of course.
It's got
to
be.
Can you imagine if they tried to have like Batista do it? That would have been so unwatchable.
Yeah. No, you need Jericho. And this is the point, and I think this is where you get why Randy Orton's getting the oddball phase turn here, is Jericho is a brilliant heel.
Yes.
He's incredible. But he's so good at it that the old wrestling fans love him for it. Like he's by virtue of being that good at being a heel, he becomes a a favorite of people like you and me. Mm-hmm. The heels they create now, CM Punk aside, Sheamus everybody hates because he's a heel and he's bad at it.
Oh, he's...
Cody Rhodes everybody hates because he's a heel and he's bad at it.
Right.
You know, like, Orton gets the push from them because he's a less bad heel. Like, he's actually good at being that, so therefore people like him now. It's weird. But Jericho, as good as he is as a face, is the ultimate heel anymore. And he's the best on the mic. He's the best with gimmicks. He's the best in the ring. They've been setting this up like Edge has to win it. I don't think they take the belt off of Jericho. I think he finds a way to sneak something in because they love to play up that, you know, he finds, you know, some random way of winning this match.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of two schools of thought on it. Like, you sort of don't want to, you know, put a finality on their little storyline by having Edge beat Jericho, like, right here. After he came back, was it in Royal Rumble, like two and a half months ago? Like, you want to get some more out of that, because for as good as Jericho is, and I he is the best guy in the ring, Edge is top three.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So, and they are going to put on one hell of a match.
Absolutely. And
definitely, it's going to be the best match to watch from a pure like technique standpoint, from a excitement standpoint, from any standpoint in which you are not a child. You know, if you want a little comeback, then yeah, you'll enjoy Cena. But I mean, these guys have more of the Bret Hart approach to wrestling a match, script over and over. I mean, really, I don't know who wins this.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think you have to keep it going, but I think you keep it going regardless of who wins. If Edge wins, I still think Jericho, you know, by virtue of having rematch clauses and whatnot, probably keeps this going anyway.
Yeah, I could see that.
What I could totally see happening, though, and I don't know who it would be, but somebody intervenes on Jericho's behalf and gets him a win.
Yeah, but you'd hate to see that in WrestleMania. You know,
like
isn't this supposed to be the big event where you know, all the sort of storylines at least like have a chance to come to a head rather than like, okay, here's another thing that WCW and TNA always fucked up. It's that they could never have like a big deal match go through without some intervention fucking it up.
Right. No, it got old to watch NWO screw everything up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, like, and this main event pay-per-view title match has ended in disqualification, and everyone's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, and so you really, really hope that something like that doesn't happen.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but you're right. They WWE wants to get a winner.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see that that intervention sort of thing happening in even like SummerSlam, you know. But you'd hope at least somebody gets a legitimate pin somewhere out of this match. I don't know who that's going to be. I think you're right. I think that there is totally the possibility for keeping this feud going regardless of who wins. I hope that's what they do because these two guys are good enough to deserve each other, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
If I had to guess, I think that they're going to think that it's sort of a waste unless Edge actually wins it. They expended a lot of energy, like, pumping them up and pumping up this match.
Right.
What
I could see them doing, and this is based on the fact that the draft comes up here in a week or two, right after this is done. It's basically... You do WrestleMania, you come to Raw the next night, announce the results, and then you come back the next week, basically with the draft. They need to get some serious numbers on Raw to finish off TNA. And nothing is going to drive people to watching that show like bring this there. Which is why I think you could have, if you could find a way to get Batista to have the WWE Championship and keep that over at SmackDown, you bring Jericho and Edge to Raw. You can send Cena or Triple H or whoever the hell you want over to SmackDown to feud with Batista. And then you've got this feud going on Monday nights, and nobody is flipping over to TNA to find out what Hulk Hogan is doing.
I think you're right. I think it's, like, on one hand, I don't think that they would want to, sort of acknowledge TNA's existence until TNA at least gets some sort of baseline ratings sustained that are, I don't know, at least twice of what they're doing right now, because TNA is just getting squashed right now. But at the same time, like, maybe you want to bury them right now.
See, I think Vince remembers what happened in 94. I mean, Nitro got squashed for a long time, too, and then, you know, Hogan showed up, and then Luger showed up, and then Macho Man, and before you knew it, they had kind of a, you know, enough of a, there's a critical mass there where people started paying attention to it. Right. And they're not there yet by any means, because they've got all these retreads who are awful. And they,
right. the fact
that Scott Hall is out there is just beyond awful. But
I feel bad for him.
If you keep bringing out guys like Van Damme and Hardy, who I don't like, but who for some reason has a big following. I never have understood the Jeff Hardy following.
Well, he at least makes some matches interesting.
He's very entertaining in ladder matches and in, you know,
those... when he's actually wrestling.
Right. But he didn't talk at all. He didn't forget like battling, like he doesn't talk.
Right.
And so these people who were like enamored with Jeff Hardy because he jumps off big things just never really did it for me. But that's beside the point. If they keep bringing up guys like that, if they keep picking off, you know, the WWE guys who actually have a following with McMahon's audience. You know, McMahon isn't going to worry about losing us if the time comes. He's going to worry about losing kids. And if they keep getting guys like that...
Well, now wait a second. Hold on. But if they're worried about losing kids, then McMahon should be protecting more of like Evan Bourne or Yoshitatsu rather than fucking Hulk Hogan. You know?
Well, he's not worried about Hulk Hogan.
Well, or even RVD, or, well, I guess you could make a case for Jeff Hardy. And
right, I think Hardy's
God only knows what
Hardy's the big game changer out of that.
I
wouldn't even say RVD, because RVD's still, you know, us or a little bit younger than us.
Yeah.
But God,
what happens if Mysterio goes to TNA?
See, that would be like the death scenario for them.
Yeah. I think
he's looking for that critical mass coming where his audience would switch over. And so if it means that he could smash TNA's audience, which is basically us, they're not looking to get the kids. I mean, which is why I don't think Mysterio would ever go over there. If he can basically take the semi hardcore late 20s, early 30s wrestling fan back by putting Jericho and Edge up there and letting them go at it every week, he'll do it.
What do you think about one of the things that sort of typified the Saturday morning wrestling shows, like when we were growing up, was these total squash matches. Like, you know, Bobby Salsa versus Dusty Rhodes or something like that. Is Bobby or Danny Salsa?
I think it was Bobby.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, just trot these guys out to beat up on some schmo for, like, 5 minutes. Like, if you want to make it Evan Bourne instead of Bobby Salsa, I guess, fine. But don't you just have to at least keep trotting matches out there rather than the, what, four that they had for over the 2 hours of Raw?
Boy, you would think so.
Do kids really care about Sheamus talking for 10 minutes about how he wants to fight Triple H and why?
No, but kids care about exactly 8 minutes of that show, and it's the 8 minutes that John Cena's on the air.
Well, okay.
And Evan Bourne, and, you know, like... But Evan Bourne's a squash guy. I mean, Evan Bourne gets smashed every other week by Jack Swagger or, right. You know, like The Miz or somebody comes out there and just destroys him.
Well, then have Evan Bourne, like, fight one of the next guys. or Nixed, or however you're supposed to pronounce it. I mean, like, have those guys at least be the squash guys, but put some fucking matches on the air, please.
Well, and that's the biggest problem with Raw anymore, is my God. Yeah. There's no actual wrestling anymore. It's I told you last night, I don't remember who wrote it, and I hate to steal somebody else's slang that's absolutely correct. TNA is at least a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Raw is like Ed Sullivan with a couple of wrestling matches thrown in.
Yeah.
You know, there's skits and there's, you know, some idiotic music sequence, and there's recaps of last week for insane amounts of time, which make no sense at all. I mean, Christ, a week after Des Moines, how many minutes did they spend rehashing the limo accident with Bret Hart? God.
So fucking many of them. And, like, meanwhile, while Jeff Hardy was still on SmackDown, at least SmackDown was a wrestling show. You know, it wasn't that good of one, except for, you know, Hardy and Mysterio, but at least they, you know, those guys can put on some decent matches. And
right.
They were doing it week in and week out.
No, I agree with you completely. They don't attempt it anymore. It's the same matches every week, and they're not particularly good. I mean, last night, depending on how you want to read it, the Raw main event was either Triple H and Orton versus Legacy and Sheamus, which went for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or it was John Cena and Batista, who didn't actually wrestle at all.
Yeah, just looking at each other.
Just looked at each other, and then, you know, Batista threw a punch.
And then some bodyguards pushed them around.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your main event. And, you know, everybody, they're the monopoly, so who's going to say no? But if you really wanted to drum up interest in WrestleMania last night, you failed miserably. Because nothing last night made me any more likely to watch this show.
And you know, of course, we're a little different than their target market, but I didn't see anything that would make anybody more likely to buy the pay-per-view.
No. There's no drama here. They haven't even had The Undertaker in the same room as Michaels since the week after. Well, I guess he showed up last night for 10 seconds. I take that back.
Yeah, for one choke slam, and that's it.
Because that's all he can do.
Well,
that's all he's got left. He can't wrestle a full match on Monday night and then come back on Sunday and go 40 minutes. So, anyway, we've been way over an hour, so we'll probably wrap this thing up. I got to get to work.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, anyway, SummerSlam, WrestleMania 26 Sunday night. We'll probably be twittering throughout. Although I have to go to a bar to watch it, so I'll be twittering from my iPhone if I can.
Okay. I gave you my big twist prediction. Bret Hart going heel. What's yours?
Ooh. I got to go with what you've already said before. I don't see a whole lot of room for big twists in this because there are so many guys in here. I mean, when your big matches are Jericho Edge, which has to basically stay the same. Jericho's not going to turn face,
right?
And Edge ain't going to turn heel, and you got to keep that one going.
Yeah.
John Cena can't turn face or can't turn heel, and that means Batista can't do it either. Michaels and Undertaker are both giving their last hurrah on this thing.
Yeah, they're in their own little world.
Right. You can't make Sheamus a face. He's physically capable of doing it. You can't make Mysterio a heel. You can't break up Big Show and Miz just yet because Big Show can't wrestle matches on his own. I think it's got – if it's not going to be what you said with Bret Hart, which is incredibly interesting and could actually play out, that's great. I think it's got to be Orton and Rhodes turning on DiBiase.
Yeah.
That's the only place where I can see something happening that big. They are – the bad part of what they got right now is that there are far too many characters that really can't move. I mean, they've got too much invested in keeping John Cena and Rey Mysterio up front and good with the fans. They've got too many guys who are incapable of being liked by anybody. And so they've got, you know – And Jericho has said publicly, I'm not going to become a face again. I refuse to do it. So if you've got that and you got to keep Edge positive, which you can do. I mean, you clearly can do that. What that would, by the way, that'd be really interesting. I didn't even think about that until now. If you've got Jericho and Edge, and you've got 3 months of that feud going with one or the other of them with the title, and you give the Money in the Bank match to Christian.
Ooh.
That gets interesting.
Oh, I like it.
Because
Edge and Christian were
tag team partners
for a long time. Yeah.
That could make things very interesting.
Ooh.
See? Ah, there we go. Christian's
like
the bank. Calling it. All right. Well, on behalf of Jacoby, this is Hawkeye State. Sorry we wasted an hour and plus of your time talking about wrestling, but we'll be back talking about legitimate things like coaching searches here real soon. Yep. All right. Take care, bud.
Have a good night, guys.